The Weird Kid, a short story by Hannah Paper Nikiutin. There once lived a person who watched themselves their whole life, growing and growing constantly. They often had a tendency to stand in front of a mirror, something which they, growing up, had automatically knew was meant to show their personal appearance. A reflection in the mirror revealed hair slowly growing out in different directions, framing the face and getting longer and more intelligent. The reflection itself grew larger, older, remaining young. The facial expression remained the same, watchful, in the awkward, discomforting manner of straining to discover. This all happened at home quite frequently, until one day the voice was heard. "Come down here, it's time to go to school." An adult shouted from downstairs towards the person who was apparently, they were to learn, a child. On go shoes, straps, food, everything. It was time to go to another place for kids. But among this place, the person shrank. Kids of the same size ran wild and rampant, comfortable with their surroundings, swinging from trees and play structures, laughing and shouting, approaching each other like it was the simplest, easiest, most comfortable task in the world. It all looked so easy, but it wasn't, not to the person. This schoolroom for little kids, as the person came to enter later on, was big, bright, and colorful. Red bins for activities sat on bright wooden shelves. The floor was bright, the walls bright, the lights bright, everything was happy. There were toys everywhere. The person walked into this room, taking in all of it, while kids all around the person squealed with joy and excitement. To this day, the person will question whether they were the only kid who, despite the colors and happiness, felt a certain tension amongst themselves, in the air, something they could not put into words at the time, and would not be able to put into words for a long time. But at the time, the person simply went with the motions of hanging their stuff on little hooks, and when it was time to sit on the carpet and listen, the person obeyed. The person listened to the adult teach and talk. The kids then began to talk amongst themselves. The person remained quiet, sitting like an angel on the shoulder of the class, quietly listening in on the class of young, excited kids. Suddenly, like a loud bell, instruction got everyone up. It was time to choose and take their activity bins and play games. But the person was unaccustomed to playing such games. Once the teacher announced the bins like a soccer broadcaster on Clifford, the kids resembled soccer players in the show by running, excitedly, to have fun with their activity bins. The person joined them and ran in the other direction. During this part of the long day, all the young person could do was sit in the corner because they had nothing else to do. They didn't know what to do. Meanwhile, kids continued to get up and down with excitement. They took out bins with different materials in them, parts and pieces to fit together and laugh about, inanimate objects to provide life, and all stuff involving imagination. But the person had never been imaginative. When they were very little, at the time, their favorite activities were to do this. Flip through a book. Once upon a time, la 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 la, they went there and had a party and they had some cake and everything's fluffy. Then they had to go and play with their friends and la la la, my ABCs. After this ritual, the person would often pick up another book and begin to flip through it while doing the same, repeating the same words, just for fun. Sometimes the parents would sit back and watch with astonishment at the young person's sudden interest in reading. Another thing the person would do on their own time was this. "Lucy, I see you! Ah!" The person, playing another character from a show they were reenacting by memory, ran across the room. "Hey, I told you to. No fighting. We didn't mean it. We promise no more." After reenacting the characters, the person would close their eyes to make everything black, and open them up again to a room with blackness, for it was nighttime. The characters would appear on the screen of the person's mind immediately for a new scene, a new act. Back at school, the person was startled out of their own different imagination, a type produced within a world of their own, by a voice. "Go and play with your activity bins and get out of the corner." But the person could only just sit there, confused. They did not know how everything worked. They did not know what playing was, and were unaccustomed to playing such games. They could only sit there confused about many things at once, not knowing what to say or do. Imagination is one of the many special abilities that young people possess naturally. Those who are older can sometimes possess it, but many will say that imagination within an older, corrupted brain by reality is an unlikely phenomenon. Imagination is the brain's way of figuring, sorting, and conjuring elements out of thin air. It is a way for one to have fun and entertain themselves, frankly. And all kids have it, but the person doesn't. It is a high requirement for the fun and games expected of young people, and yet, it is something that this unusual person in particular has yet to figure out. Every day, before and after school, kids are led by grown-ups in and out of the building. Every day after school, familiar adults await them. Familiar, bubbly children are excitedly embraced with warm hugs and kisses by their parents, jumping around full of excitement and enthusiasm for reminiscence of the day, along with seeing their parents, and just being themselves. During this relieving part of the day, the person isn't usually seen among these kids, talking and laughing and being uncharacteristically excited. But this will hardly ever last. Something is likely to come along and strike the person, rather, set them off. Walking home, the person is set to bubble like a kid and excitedly tell their mother about their day while picturing themselves a bubbly cartoon kid making sounds and laughing, because that's what they are supposed to be, after all. And then, among these imaginative noises of clang, clang, rattle, rattle, bam, bam, my day is done, they will all of a sudden grow upset and rather sad. This phenomenon is something common to the person, something they will never quite be able to explain, and it always involves tears every day. The next day, the person is to wake up fresh and brand new and ready, except for some days. One day, the person had to get up. But the person would not get up, for they were forever lost in their dreams. Someone vulgarly screamed at the person to get up. Adults demanded they get up, took them to the washroom, put them on the toilet. The person was crying. They huffed, puffed, huffed, puffed, and panted with tears like a tired, exhausted wolf falling down, down, down. The person was an animal. No, they imagined themselves as an animal, a long tongue sticking out, huffing and puffing. But they were really a person. In the lives of people, they were thrown into this tirade of merely being a person, without having given thought or consent, no warning, or any information about the job. They were never told what being a person was, what it was to be, what it would be like, what it would involve. Nothing. All this was to be learned in good time, and this short mourning period marked only the beginning of realization. And now, the effects seemed to happen in reverse, for the people of the person would not take into consideration the person's well-being. On these hard mornings, the person was continually shouted at, for, at the person to hurry up, to stop being upset, to get ready and go to school, to use the washroom. This is a mere overview of the orders given to the person. No orders are exact. At the time, they all just blended together mindlessly and without sound, absent of deciphering power and meaning. It was all just words, shouting, orders, noise, piercing the person's heart they had yet to discover as something long since wounded, since childhood, the hardest time of their lives. somewhere along this short life of childhood, the person had developed a very, very emotional heart. This suspicious pain continued into school, wherever the person went, wherever they dwelled, while waiting for the time to go home, for that time of relief. The kids, though rough and seemingly carefree, were indifferent, but the teachers drastically lost patience, had hard times, grew even more confused in the person themselves with regards to why this person just couldn't seem to fit in among the other kids. The teachers never confronted these differences everyone knew, and it was everywhere based on the everyday biography of the person, but nevertheless, they found it annoying and unacceptable. The person wanted to change, but they didn't know how. They knew they were different. They saw it in themselves, in the eyes of others. Judging eyes of everyone knew that the person was typical or should be, but didn't fit in. School became the person's entire life journey, a challenge which loomed like a heavy burden growing bigger and bigger over time. Each day, over the passing of time, the person came to school, their sensitive heart heavy like lead. Days varied, some were better than others, and like anyone, the person had bad days. But each day, regardless, was known by the person as different and just unusual in this world of being different and unusual. And sometimes, on bad days, it just hurt. One day, on the way to school, the person's feet dragged until they just burst into tears. Like many times before, they cried. It was over an insult they had received from a teacher or a kid. They were too saddened and upset at the time to remember the reference into the present. The person wanted to change because they knew they were, for some reason they could not explain, different. During the increasingly hard days of attending school, the person would watch themselves from a distance, far above their consciousness, and observe, seemingly observe, their own habits and attitudes towards the goals and priorities amongst other kids, but it was increasingly hard to blend in, and they knew it. Over the long years, kids laughed and ran around, and were carefree, and enjoyed playing. This person was unaccustomed to playing such games. Was this person even a kid at all, despite what adults had implied the person's entire life? That was only one of the many questions that coexisted in the person's small head, as they floated in and out of the days, between life elements, reaching out and touching them like fluffy clouds and the cartoon characters they had grown up to love and want to be. Days blurred into months, which blurred into years. Years grew hard, tough, difficult with the same feelings, the same thinking and acting patterns, only further induced by the occurrence of hardship that came with the older years. The person did indeed grow older and more confused. Fellow children, also growing older, continued to carelessly laugh and play with ease, but with these outside habits emerged an attitude, even more unnatural to the person than the former example. Kids grew out their hair, developed their personalities, carried themselves with a prosperous, crude sense of confidence and inner stability. This was a foreign concept to the person, almost insecure. Seemingly, their entire being had just become poisoned with shrinking self-confidence as they were mysteriously unable to make simple improvements, such as long hair. Prosperous long hair. The person continued to live the way they were, but with more criticism among their peers, they even developed an inner criticism such as old wounds to the heart, that having happened since the curious years of early childhood, all while confused curiosity, something they had grown into, turned to displacement, mere displacement. With stumped, shriveled hair, the person would approach their parents at times, in tears for being so different and not knowing why. Their answer was always the same, only stating the obvious question without answering it, that the person was different. And the person would always cry, then attend school. Memories of the early years faded with these hard older years. At one point, things were just weird. Now, they were hard. People were more critical now, and above all, it was no longer so easy to just hide, to just sit in the corner and be lost in their imagination. The person's imagination came to dwindle with the dwindling self-confidence. Efforts to stay in the corner were fading fast. To stay in the crevices of their mind were fading fast as expectations grew with the advancement of the person's age, all while still being trapped in the insecurity of childhood. One day, while other kids rolled down hills and mountains, the person could only sit and watch from afar. Kids played and were careless and free, and the person could only sit there. Somehow, they found a way to get lost in their dreams, and they jumped. The person free fell at their own will down a steep, steep hill, the one that had kids rolling down it without care. But the person didn't roll down this hill, they fell. They didn't roll safely, they fell drastically, being pulled down by gravity, and yet they landed on the ground unhurt. Kids gaped at the person in awe. They had seen the way this person fell rather than rolled down an apparently steep hill, and they knew, all the time of watching the moment in slow motion, that this person probably wouldn't survive such a steep fall. So they were in awe that the person, lost in their dreams once again, got up unhurt, ready to relive the feeling of being free. Kids were so amazed in watching this, they refrained from continuing their usual normal activities to watch this weird kid fall steeply down the hill. Hungry for self-provision after so many years of being ignored, the person tried something different, something that would define them as the kid they were. The person jumped into the air and paddled, dog-paddled into the sky like they were in water, only in air. Like in one of the many dreams they'd had, the dream they were lost in now, the person tried so hard to push themselves through the thickness, through the air, through the gravity, anxious to stay up, and so they jumped up, up, up. The person swam, flew to the lampposts, high, high above people's heads, above the heads that had judged them and ridiculed them as different. Kids could all but stare in a way that wasn't demeaning. Giddily, the person pictured themselves having wings like they had dreamt and began to feel a goodness of some kind, a goodness having once been lost beneath the sadness and imprisonment of young life. That is my first short story as an emerging writer. My name is Hannah Papernick-Uden. Email me at paperdix123@gmail.com. That's paperdix@gmail.com. If you have any questions or any comments, anything you can tell me, even feedback would be great.
That was the first variation of Saraband in D minor by George Frideric Handel. It is my theme, and this is my first podcast. Thank you for listening, and again, any feedback is welcome, and I hope you enjoy it.